Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. There's a story about a police officer on night patrol who stumbles upon a drunk man looking for his house keys. The officer finds the man looking under a streetlight, and the officer asks, "What are you looking for?" to see if he can help. The drunk man explains, "I'm looking for my house keys. I've lost them." The officer nods and begins to look around. After several minutes of looking, they haven't found the keys. So the officer starts following up and asking him more questions. "Well, where were you this evening? Where have you been?" The drunk man says, "I was at the bar, and I was walking home, and somewhere along the way, I lost my house keys." The officer asks, "So are you sure that you lost them in this area, around this streetlight?" In response, the drunk man says, "Oh no, I lost my house keys in the park across the road." Confused, perplexed, the officer asks, "Then why are you looking here under the streetlight? We're at least a couple hundred feet away from the park." Some of you are saying the punchline. Some of you beat me to it. The drunk man answers, "Because this is where the light is." I'm not sure that many of us will relate to the drunk man in this story, but I'm sure many of us will admit that at least once we've looked for something in the wrong place. We might look for something in the wrong place because it's been there before, or because we've convinced ourselves that that's where it should be. Either way, looking for something in the wrong place reveals something about us. It reveals that we don't have all the information all of the time, and it reveals we're often forgetful and absent-minded. But in the end, I hope we're all smarter than the drunk man looking for his house keys, even if we look in the wrong place every now and then. Now, what we learn about ourselves would be far different if we kept looking in the same spot, even though someone had told us what we're looking for is not there. Sometimes when Rihanna and I need to get something out of our dog Luca's reach, we toss it on top of the fridge. But this only works if Luca doesn't see you do this, and he doesn't see it on top of the fridge. Because if he does, he'll sit in his tallest and most perfect posture and look up at the top of the fridge, because that's where the toy is. What sometimes happens is that we end up giving it to him anyways, even if it's particularly annoying. Other times we have to get more creative, and I have to act like I took it and make him follow me while Rihanna actually takes it down off the fridge and hides it somewhere else. We're smarter than our dog. But once Luca realizes that I don't have the toy, you know what he does? He goes right back in front of the fridge and just stares at the top of it. One time before we knew he would do this, we just walked away after tricking him, and we come back to the kitchen an hour later, and he's still looking at the top of the fridge where he thinks the toy is. What this means is that now, every time when a toy goes missing, he believes it's on top of the fridge, and no amount of evidence, no amount of reason, nothing can make him believe otherwise. He'll just stay there until he's distracted by something else and forget about it. We can say, "No toy, Luca, no toy up here." And he hears, "Toy up there." I've even picked up this 60-pound dog and shown him the top of the dusty fridge and say, "Do you get it? It's not up there." And he doesn't. He just sits back down and stares right back at the top of the fridge, excited for the day he'll get that toy. The point is this. I don't think looking in the wrong place once reveals that much about us. We all lose things and we all get frantic searching for them. But when we look in the wrong place time and time and time again, there may be something deeper going on. There may be something that we're missing. In today's scripture passage, we hear the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others. They have gotten up early in the morning to tend to Jesus' body. The women find that the stone has been rolled away, so they step into the tomb, and much to their surprise, they don't see Jesus' dead body. Then two men who we identify as angels come out of nowhere, much to the fright of the women, and the angels say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man would on the third day rise again?" That's what the NRSV says, but I'm going to give you the Caleb translation. Are you ready? Pretty much the angels say, "What in the world are you doing here? Are you dense? He said he wouldn't be here a while back." To the angels, it doesn't make any sense for the women to have come to the tomb at all on the third day. If they would have taken Jesus seriously, if they would have listened to him at all, they would have known that they didn't need to tend his body because it would be risen. The women come around to realizing this, and we read that they, quote, remembered Jesus' words. Now, if you think I'm being a bit hard on the women, don't worry, because Peter gets it worse. He gets a head start. The women tell him the answer to the exam, and he still fails it. Because he doesn't believe the women, and because he doesn't remember everything Jesus said about being resurrected, even though the women probably told him, Peter runs to the tomb, the place where Jesus said he would not be, and looks for him there anyways. Just like my dog, Luca, the women tell Peter, "He's not there, remember? He said he wouldn't be there. No Jesus here, Peter. No Jesus." Maybe I'm being too hard on everyone involved because this was quite the shock. We hear this story so often that its novelty has fallen off. But at the end of the day, what these actions reveal, what going to the tomb time and time again reveals, is that none of the disciples truly understood Jesus' words. We know this because of what the angels told the women. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember what he told you." No one there took what Jesus said seriously, and that's why they were looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Big surprise, I think this story reveals something about all of us. I believe that even today we are very, very, very good at looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. We're really good at seeking the living among the dead. And just like everyone on Easter morning, on this Easter morning, thousands of years later, looking for Jesus in the wrong places proves that we don't understand what Jesus said. It proves that we need to remember what Jesus preached and take it seriously, or else we won't find him at all. See, looking for Jesus in the wrong places can start really small. It can begin by believing that Jesus can only be in the big, beautiful buildings we build to worship him. It can begin by believing that we can only find Jesus in the services we hold in our big, beautiful buildings. But what we've seen in recent times are more egregious examples of looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. There are people who say you can find Jesus only among one certain race, among one certain economic status, among one certain belief of what it looks like to be an American. They tell us that you can only find Jesus in the upper echelons of society. They tell us that Jesus is on the side of the oligarchs. He's with the decision makers. He's with the rich and the famous. But if we learn anything from today's scripture, and if we start to remember Jesus' words, we'll know that we won't find Jesus at the front and center of society, will we? No, we'll find Jesus in the margins. If we take Jesus' words seriously, we'll know that we won't find Jesus in the tomb.
We won't find Jesus in the tomb of division and hatred. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of discrimination, where diversity is seen as a weakness instead of a strength. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of retribution, where mercy is mocked and punishment is prized over restoration. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of mammon and greed, where profit is worshipped and compassion is written off as a liability. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of partisan politics, which every side claims, but few are willing to follow Jesus. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of Christian nationalism, where flags are lifted higher than the cross. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of fascism, where an innocent Maryland father named Kilmer Abrego Garcia is kidnapped and thrown to rot in an El Salvadorian prison. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of empire, where the gospel is twisted to preserve control instead of proclaim liberation. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of fear, where every stranger is a threat and every difference is a danger. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of economy, where people are valued for only what they can produce. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of consumerism, where enough is never enough and generosity is discouraged. We won't find Jesus in the tomb of billion-dollar bank accounts while people sleep in tents under overpasses. Yes, church, we are surrounded by tomb after tomb where we won't find Jesus. But the world, they keep telling us to look in that tomb because that's where Jesus should be. The world said that Jesus would still be dead on the third day, so the tomb is where you'll find him. But we know from Jesus' words that we won't find him there. If we expect to find Jesus in these tombs, what we're doing is looking for the living among the dead. When we look for Jesus in these tombs, we ignore the gospel. We ignore what Jesus said in his life and in his ministry. If we take Jesus seriously, if we remember what he said like the angels tell us to do, we know where to look for Jesus. We know that we'll find Jesus among the downtrodden, who are crushed by systems too big to fight by themselves. We'll find Jesus among the unhoused, who are told to move along when all they want to do is rest. We'll find Jesus among the mentally ill who navigate systems that stigmatize instead of support. We'll find Jesus among the poor who stretch loaves and fishes and hope for a miraculous multiplication. We'll find Jesus among the children who still dare to believe that love can fix everything. We'll find Jesus among the tax collectors and the sinners who are told they are too far gone and they are not welcome at the table. We'll find Jesus among the addicts who battle demons no one sees but still try and get up again. We'll find Jesus among the refugees who cross deserts and borders with nothing but faith in their hearts. Church, these are places where we'll find Jesus because these are the places Jesus told us he would be. And when we look for Jesus in these places, the world will ask why in the world we're there. They'll ask why we aren't looking for Jesus among the elites and the power brokers. And that's when we'll get to tell them that the entire gospel depends on Jesus not being where we expected him to be. And that's the good news this morning and every Easter morning. The good news is that Jesus wasn't where we expected him to be. If he were, he would still be in the tomb. If he were, there wouldn't be a gospel. There would be no good news on Easter morning. We wouldn't know this morning that God has defeated death through resurrection. We wouldn't be on the path ourselves toward resurrection. If Jesus was where we expected him to be, we wouldn't have a reason to hope that things can and will get better. We wouldn't have any reason to believe that we can build the kingdom of God on earth. But Jesus wasn't where we expected him to be. And because he surprised us, because that tomb was empty, we can believe that grace reaches farther than guilt. We can believe that forgiveness is stronger than fear, that the last can be first, and that life has defeated death. We can believe that the powers and principalities will not rule forever. We can believe that the voices of the silence will rise like thunder. We can believe that the poor are not forgotten, for the kingdom of God is theirs. We can believe that prisoners will be set free, that justice isn't a fantasy, that peace isn't weakness. We can believe that the cross was never the final word, and neither is the tomb. We can believe that there will be a day when every tear is wiped from our faces and we will look upon the face of God. We can believe that the tomb was empty because God isn't finished just yet, and that transformation and resurrection await us just like the sunrise does tomorrow morning. We can know all of these things because Jesus wasn't where we expected him to be on Easter morning. Not because God left us, not because God gave up on us, but because God is creating a new heaven and a new earth, and part of our story is an empty tomb that will lead us all the way there. But we won't get there if we're not looking for Jesus in the right places. If the disciples and the women had kept looking in the tomb time after time after time, even though they knew Jesus wasn't there, they wouldn't have met the risen Christ. If they had kept checking the tomb, they wouldn't have gotten the command from Jesus to preach the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, beginning in Jerusalem. There's so much we miss out on if we keep looking for Jesus in the wrong places. But there is so much to be gained in finding him where he told us he would be. So, church, what we're called to do this morning is to look for Jesus in the places where the world doesn't expect him to be. We're called to look for Jesus in the places we don't expect him to be. We're called to go to the places we might overlook or the places we might look away from. We're called to serve where no one else wants to serve. We're called to take a stand for justice, to listen to the unheard, and to speak out for those who can't speak for themselves. If Jesus is in these places, then why wouldn't we want to be there too? So just like the women on Easter morning, we won't find the living among the dead. We won't find Jesus in the tomb where we expect him to be. But thank God we won't, because that means we can stop looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Thank God Jesus wasn't where we expected him to be. May it be so. Amen.